Hi, folks. This is Film Shapes. Welcome. Now, tonight, we're joined by Rolly.
Hello. Sorry, I had a mouthful of tea.
And Parazad, hi.
Hi.
Now, we're going to be talking about The Creator, which is a film by Gareth Edwards. It's about AI, pretty much, isn't it? Rolly, tell us about this film, please.
Really? No, you normally do the run-through, don't you?
Like, I've forgotten it. I don't have any notes today. You've put me on the spot.
I think this is a film we all saw more than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right? I reckon about three for me. Yeah.
Future world, there's been a catastrophic malfunction of the AI that the world had been developing, and Los Angeles has been suffered a nuclear explosion, which was apparently the fault of AI. Mm-hmm. So the West has rejected AI completely, whereas the rest
East
of the world, the East,
it.
The China,
yeah.
the
New Asia,
the, your China, your, mm. your New Asia, mm. has embraced AI, and it's about and. I just want to say hilarity ensues. It doesn't. It's more, it's just, that's the story, and, and we go from there.
Uh-huh. Parazad, what did you
And it
of
kind
this?
Of, sorry, mm-hmm. do you want me to expand on that?
You can expand, please, yes.
Well, no, I was going to say, it. That's kind of almost the political background, and then you've got the story actually focuses in on this one particular guy. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten his name. It's been that long. The main character.
Yeah, okay. Joshua? Does that ring a bell?
Something like that.
It's Joshua.
Anyway.
Keep rolling, I'll look at it.
Anywho. Mm-hmm. And so he was an undercover agent, we find out very early on, trying to track down, hence the title, the creator of the AI, because they had some sort of intel that this person was close to a breakthrough to create the ultimate AI weapon.
Yeah, okay. But this weapon, without spoiling it, was not to kill loads of things or people, was it?
No, but the assumption at the beginning was that it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the assumption at the beginning was that the explosion in Los Angeles was an intentional attack from AI. And it's not until later in the movie that it was revealed to be a flaw in the programming. If you believe that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if that was a furphy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the sort of thing where people would still be arguing about it today. It's like was the vaccine, you know, was COVID created in a Chinese lab kind of question. And I think you'd still have accepted truth necessarily that's presented in the film. But
I mean so it's debatable, but that's one of the AI does say that, right? Of course, then you go, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? Of course.
Tell us what your take on the film, and then we can get into it, really.
I'm kind of on the fence about this. I think it's a fantastic-looking film, and it's a new kind of thing, right? It's not new necessarily, but it's not a franchise and it's not an old IP, right? It's just something that's popped up. And Gareth Edwards is a pretty good director. He doesn't do much, though. It's been 7 years, I think, since Rogue One. Mm-hmm. That was his last film. Before that, he did Godzilla, which was pretty crappy, if I remember rightly. And Monsters was his first film. That's pretty good. So he's got a bit
Monsters
of a...
Monsters as in Monsters, Inc.? Or...
No. No, Monsters as in... It's a smallish film about aliens that have dropped into Central America or Mexico somewhere.
Okay.
And they've sort of walled off that area. And people sometimes go through it. It was actually pretty good as a calling card film for the director. Mm. So the world building and the sets and the design, all tip top. That'd be a 5-star for me if that was all that was going on.
Yep.
I think just it wasn't enough originality in the actual story, I think. Is it? What are you smiling for, Parazad?
Because I think for possibly the first time on this podcast, I agree with everything you've just said.
Wow. Okay. I better say something really weird then. Okay.
No, I couldn't agree more.
Okay. Yeah. I also think, sad to say this, the lead is John David Washington from Tenet and a few other types of something else I saw him in recently. The Amsterdam, you remember Amsterdam, that film with Margot Robbie and I was going to say Gareth Bale, but I'm...
Are you asking me because you know that I saw it?
Yeah, I think you saw it. With maybe, you? Oh, maybe not with me. Or Christian Bale, not Gareth Bale. He's the footballer.
Okay.
Jesus. I really, I'm lost without my fucking notes. It's crazy.
I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, that was a pretty crappy movie too. So he's trying to hold down the lead of this, and he's pretty boring, isn't he? He's a very dull actor, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I found him not relatable, but not sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really care about him at the end of the day. And I should have.
I don't think he's got the charisma, to be honest, sadly. You know, I think his old man is Denzel Washington, who really does have charisma
in spades.
In spades. He racks it up. But, and he's a very good actor. I don't know. Maybe this guy's better than... I don't know, maybe needs the right role.
It also could just be poor writing because, like, it did not feel original. He didn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah. I mean, he was much better in Tenet, I thought, but he was still a bit coasting. Like, he didn't have that much gravitas or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's, again, it's the sort of film you wouldn't expect that. It's not a character-driven film, again.
Concept over character.
Maybe this is supposed to be more so, but yeah, maybe it was lacking in the script somewhere, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
What did you think?
What do you think, Rob? Yeah.
I'll go to my main issue with the film. I think it's the idea that AI, and of course it's the now thing to be talking about, mm-hmm. AI, and as we understand what AI to be today, which is kind of the idea of machine learning and letting the machine learning kind of interact with humanity on some level.
Okay.
The idea that half the world would reject AI completely while the other half embraces it and that the half that rejected it would still have some sort of military to compete with the other, like, it's just completely ridiculous.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Like,
that's fair.
Like their whole big nomad spaceship, if they're not using AI on any level.
But it's only 2050, isn't it? That's it's only where it a few gets, years down the track. So.
That's where it gets, and I'm not sure, I think maybe AI is just not even the right phrase for what they're talking about. I think the AI is represented that they've rejected is something to do with the humanoid-style robots
that have some maybe
sentience going on. Because they do have, you know, they've got walking robots that, like a 44-gallon drum that whose job is to be a bomb.
That was great.
And that was cool. Yeah, like, I agree with you. All hilarious. The design. I love the design in the film.
Yeah. That's not AI, but that's robotics, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
They have programmed, right? So,
yeah, I mean, the whole thing about, I mean, AI, as we've been talking about, has really only taken off, let's face it, this year.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if the writers of this film just had a different kind of AI. Like, this film must have been put into production prior to a year ago.
A few years ago, apparently.
And I just think the definition of the word has kind of changed in that short space of time because of how we've developed.
And I think Edwards himself was saying he wished he had set the film in 2023 when he was writing it instead of in 2050 or whenever it is.
Yeah.
Because he didn't expect it to be in the zeitgeist now, I guess, that the talk about AI.
Yeah. So that was the main sort of gripe I had with the film. Oh, and it just got really Hollywood tacky at the end, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did anyone else find it, like, disappointingly predictable?
But then again, to be totally predictable, we're going to spoil the hell out of this here, but here we go.
Well, I mean, don't we always?
We always do, yeah.
I've never assumed that this is a spoiler-free podcast.
Does, yeah.
Well, what do you mean I do? You join in?
Yeah, well, I have to.
You have to, yeah.
No, but I think you could talk around it without spoiling it. That's always the argument we have.
For regular
listeners of the show would know that you announce that you're going to spoil something.
I wish we had regular listeners.
And then
listeners.
You go about spoiling it, so we don't really
Okay,
try.
So we're going to spoil it. Well, and I assume you've seen it if you're listening.
Something
now.
I have encountered in another podcast is you could have a spoiler-free intro section and then give people a bit of a warning.
Is that the Cinemile you're talking about?
No.
Oh, they do that. They go to they walk home and they go to Spoiler Street. Another, it's pretty good.
It's just another movie podcast. But, yeah, then you could say, okay, from this point onwards, If you don't want spoilers, stop listening.
What she just said. Okay, here we go.
that person listening is getting bored now.
Yeah, so. Sorry, yeah. George. I assume it's
apologies, George.
Brett. So what were we talking about?
Spoilers.
Oh, right, yeah.
Predictability.
Yeah, I think if it was totally predictable, they would have survived Gemma Chan and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And to living happily ever after across the horizon.
Really? No, see, I was expecting them to.
No, but
go down with the ship, so to speak.
Right, you know, in a dramatic sort of heroic fashion. Yeah, I suppose. But the happy story would be them finally meeting.
Oh, I was never expecting a happy ending.
Yeah,
but I think I meant more just the. What the movie seemed to present as plot twists that for me were just I assumed that from the beginning.
I agree with that. Like as soon as what was it? Well, I knew she was going to have something to do with the bigger picture, but
yeah
as soon as there was a kid, it was like, oh, that's his kid. Yeah,
yeah.
I assumed he knew that from the beginning.
Yeah, I would.
When they suddenly revealed it, I was like, wait, you didn't know this?
There's something I just want to pick up on. Having, like, the throwaway line that guy, his mate, says to him about, I think it was in a flashback, about Gemma Chan being the daughter of the creator.
Mm.
That I almost didn't catch that because it wasn't really laid out. I'm not expecting bags of exposition, but they didn't really build up to that at all. And he sort of a throwaway. Oh, that look down there, and they were peering at her through binoculars or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We think she's related to maybe that's the daughter of the creator. What? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then it was gone, and I thought, did I really? Is that what's going on there? So it didn't really lay the groundwork for that too well. You're looking quizzical.
I'm trying to remember. I'm literally trying to remember.
I think if I'm remembering it correctly, and again, I don't know if I am, I think the scene you're thinking of with the flashback when they're staking out the boat when they were first setting him up for his assignment, and I don't think they revealed she was his daughter at that stage. I think at that point it was... We think she's high up in the hierarchy and she's close to him.
I thought they'd said daughter at that point.
And then I think maybe a little bit later on they reveal that she's the daughter. But I always assumed, like from the beginning, before we see the flashback, before any of that, as soon as we were introduced to the two of them, he was revealed to be undercover.
Mm.
And then he started griping about, do you know how close I was to finding...
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever Mermata. Name. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah. I assumed it was her, like that she was Mermata from the beginning. Yeah.
Did we get to Nermata? Who was Nermata again in the end?
Yeah, Gemma Chan was Nermata.
She was the daughter of the original and then she took over the mantle.
Oh, God.
Whereas I wasn't even expecting her to be the daughter of. I just assumed it was her from the beginning.
And the kid with the old VCR thing in her head.
Yeah.
You know, that, what do you call it?
The child. Head, yeah.
The child. That's, hang on, that's an AI, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she's the daughter of Nermata? Or daughter, I'm doing air quotes now, as in my creation.
Yes. If I'm remembering correctly, so she had the kid.
She had the baby and the baby died, is that right?
I think so.
Oh, but they took some genetics and then they created an AI from the genetics, so it's got a bit of him in it as well.
Yeah, it's virtually
it's a machine,
an AI clone.
But they've like recorded. You know how that was an interesting little tech. They had that recording technology, so when someone's died, they can get the last few seconds of their life, essentially that wake them up again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was that moment where it's like, look, mate, you are dead.
Sorry, I'm dead. Yeah, and you've got about 10 seconds to tell us something.
I imagine you're probably not supposed to tell them they're dead when they're waking up.
No,
like
probably not. Yeah.
But yeah,
but then you also kind of have to because you have to impart the urgency of you've got like 10 seconds. You need to give us some valuable information.
There's little things like that I think made the film quite watchable and still enjoyable. Even though, there's something about this film, despite its cheesiness at the end and the kind
it's
of
worth,
flawed
it was,
concept.
It was still
watching.
Worth
like
watching.
It was, it was a good film to see at the cinema too.
I still enjoyed myself watching it. Like I still had a good time at the cinema. I feel like it had the potential to be a lot better.
Was it saying anything successfully meaningful about, like I think you mentioned, Shady, the Vietnam War in your review? The other points I picked up on was September 11 might have been a...
Don't worry,
I read your review.
You read one?
That was, like this afternoon. I thought I'd better refresh myself.
Thanks, Parasite. Yeah.
But, yeah, other points were, for me, September 11.
Okay, yeah.
The Israel-Palestine, even before the recent stuff. Yeah, like it was just an obvious kind of...
Parallel, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't pick up on any of that, so go ahead and tell me. I'm excited.
The one I think it's just the Vietnam one was at the beginning where they're where the American soldiers are flown in and they're just bossing around all the villages.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And getting really sort of heavy handed with them.
Yeah.
And I was expecting a little bit of shooty shooty going on there, but yeah, that sort of thing. And they're the
quote unquote traditional military versus your guerrilla fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only one. Go on with the 9/11 stuff.
Oh, I just see that nuclear attack on Los Angeles as being the flashpoint for something, a massive overreach that
I'd completely forgotten about that nuclear. That's what set off everything.
Exactly. Yeah,
when you said it at the beginning, I was like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, that's
forgotten.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Catalyst.
Yeah, I don't know if it. Yeah, I don't know if it had anything particularly meaningful to say on all those topics. It just seemed to be drawing from that history of war and humanity in a way that kind of.
So you would you have preferred? This is the old. I think they should have done this, which is never valuable. But would you have preferred them to focus more on the AI battle? Humans versus AI, a la bloody Terminator-style stuff.
Didn't they do that in the second half of the film largely? There was a lot of goodness there.
Terminator 2 is one of my absolute favourite films.
Okay.
But even at the beginning of The Creator, I was like, oh, please tell me they're not doing another Terminator 2. Because it's a brilliant film, why would you try to recreate it? There's no point. And as soon as I saw that, the explosion in Los Angeles, I was like, oh, no, they went there. Okay. But I was pleased that it didn't turn into the humans surviving against the AI scourge trope. But I think they tried to, flip it on its head, but... I think they thought they were being original when maybe only if you haven't really watched a lot of sci-fi.
Who are we supposed to sympathise with, human or AI in this respect, in this film?
From the film's perspective, I think we're supposed to sympathise with the AI.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but I think it's trying to say, oh, there's two sides to the story still. Yeah. I think there is a...
You've got a character like Allison Janney and your screen's gone blank. Is that an issue?
No, that's fine.
Okay. As the colonel, whatever she was,
I
mean, I didn't sympathise with
there's
her.
There's not a lot to make you sympathise with the humans on second thought, is there?
No, I don't reckon so.
Yeah.
Though Gemma Chan's a human. She's the creator. Yeah. So there you go.
I think... When we say the humans, we're talking about the humans in the Western Hemisphere world, right?
True. Yeah,
the ones that have rejected the technology.
So, do you think then that I kind of do that this director's being massively irresponsible?
Oh,
wow! That's bold statement.
I'm kind of tongue in cheek but he's sort of laying the groundwork for the AI. Singularity for the invasion.
Oh, because he's going to make us all sympathise with the wrong side.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Don't know.
I think, if anything, it's the responsible thing to do to make people go, well, maybe try to find out what both sides are to an argument before you make a decision. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't just believe what the governmental and military leadership tell you.
Yeah.
But... No, I don't think it's necessarily irresponsible. I don't think AI will reach sentience in my lifetime. I mean, I don't know. It progresses so quickly, but
This is the thing. Even you know, even at the point where it reaches the point it does in this film, and if we look at any sci-fi, there'll still be arguments about whether it's sentient or not, or whether it's just a. And that's kind of the fun thing. Yeah. Having a conversation recently about Star Wars and C-3PO. Mm. By anyone else's measurement, C-3PO would be a sentient. He gets scared. He's
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Trying to help. He's nervous. He's all those things. But
even R2-D2 is.
But in the Star Wars universe, though, they're just droids. They're not the same value as...
No, but they're...
The hilarious thing, though, is that either way you look at it in Star Wars, you've got this weird dystopia going on both sides, because you've got, you're right, you've got droids. They're just machines that feel afraid and get anxious. And, I mean, C-3PO, if that's not the perfect example of anxiety, humanoid, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Jedi that rip children away from their families and train them and, you know, indoctrinate them into their religion at a really young age, because that's healthy.
Yeah.
Teach them to repress all of their emotions and not feel anything.
Yeah,
that's great.
Interesting.
I'm also wearing a Star Wars t-shirt at the moment.
But they're the good guys, the Jedi, right?
Yeah, so, in theory.
Yeah. You don't think that it's slightly irresponsible?
No, I think they were just... It was interesting, some of the ideas, like just the fact that the most technologically advanced characters in the film... Are sort of peasants.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, why are all the androids peasants and things like that? That's, you know,
with their sort of robes and they're all mystical.
Yeah, and then there's the religion thing, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. And AI religion's a thing that people are talking about now as being there's going to be a big future of weird AI religions coming out.
Okay.
And,
Now that is an interesting concept. And I liked those bits of the movie. I wish they had explored that in more depth.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never said a filmmaker is being irresponsible before, so you know I'm joking, but I do think that maybe that kind of what am I trying to say here? I sympathizing with the AI, fair enough. I know, and we do in this film, because they're supposed to be the good guys, aren't they? Pretty much, and
that's how they're Americans presented, are.
The director's from England, so he gets, he gets to do this, I suppose. Maybe it wouldn't be done by an American filmmaker, this kind of thing, because
The ending would have.
True. But James Cameron is kind of a bit of a lefty in his films,
I think,
as well. He
an might American have director would have struggled to get it produced.
Yeah, maybe.
More than not being willing to do it.
Perhaps that's why it took 6 years to get
it. It wasn't a super high budget, was it,
this film? I don't think so. No.
They shot everything on location and then added the effects afterwards.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. Like, visually, it was stunning. So for a low-budget film, they did a really good job.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a low budget, but I don't think it was Hollywood blockbuster level budget.
50 million or 40 million.
I would say I'd be very curious to see his next film, and if it's about AI and this topic, I think I'd love to see what he's got to do it. I feel like the best thing to do would be give the director more power to make the film they want to film, they want to create, rather than specify that we need this type of ending and this kind of act structure and
he didn't have final say?
That was the feeling I got. I don't know if that's the case, but it felt a little bit.
That would explain some of the jankiness between the story and some of the effects and things like that. Yeah,
but then he's taken so long to make this. I get a feeling that he's just tried to do it all by himself.
Well, this is the problem with talking about stuff on a podcast that you actually don't know
about. Yeah,
because there might be someone listening going, you idiots, like, you don't even – just do the research.
Yeah, and I mean, what research? What are you talking about? Yeah.
Putting more effort in.
I've slagged him off for being a sympathiser of the AI. I'm joking, Gareth, by the way, if you are listening. So – because I think apart from Godzilla, I think he's, which is a film that probably had lots of studio hands in it.
Are you talking Godzilla and Kong?
That no, one? No, no, no. The one 2014, I think. Ooh, okay. It was Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Right.
And Sally Hawkins was in it, I think. It was just a little bit. It looked like he wanted to do a big monster film after his. It's the second film he made after that Monsters film. So, they, you know, the studio probably said, yeah, here's, look at this guy. He can deal with monsters.
Was Monsters the one with. Oh, what's her name? Was it a really.
That's the one. Yeah.
Oh, no. Was it the one with. Famous Hollywood actress.
I don't think there are any famous people in it.
Okay, then not the film I'm thinking of.
I think dude has gone on to do a few things, the guy in it, but I can't remember who.
It's not a film where, like, a human ends up having a blackout and taking control of a Godzilla-type creature.
What the fuck is that?
Anne Hathaway. That's.
Oh, well, that's called Colossal.
That's
no,
it.
I haven't seen that. Okay. No.
That's no. a good film. Good?
Okay. Yeah. No.
Stark,
Scoot McNairy, I think, is the name. It sounds like an old Western cowboy or something. I think that's the name of the actor in Monsters. Anyway, I think that probably he got his fingers burnt with Godzilla and possibly even Rogue One, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. And they let him have his. I mean, because that was quite a mess. It was like everybody. Well, spoilers for Rogue One. It's pretty bleak, isn't it?
But I mean, you look at what the film is meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be bleak. It's great. So I think that's his calling card in Monsters rather than Godzilla, which I think had studio. It looked like that had studio fingers in pies.
So do you think he was being a little bit more cautious on this one because he might have been doing it off his own back?
Probably.
So he was thinking, well, I better learn some lessons from this other experience.
You mean as far as the sort of not so original. Drama involved.
Yeah,
maybe. Or maybe that's just how he writes. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, I was just about to ask, did he write and direct? I feel like he almost had too many ideas about AI and tried to fit them all into one film.
Yeah, could have been a...
Because some of it I felt was a bit redundant. Like, we've just seen it. Enough times,
even if
you don't watch that much sci-fi, I feel like you've seen those themes before.
I think I might have mentioned this. Towards the end, it started to get really fast and also very slow at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know
what I mean? There's a bit of a chase on. They're getting into the aeroplane that's going to the moon or whatever, and then everything's happening. So the pacing increased, but the plotting decreased. Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the wrong way to say it, but you know what I mean? It got a bit...
Yeah, it's like it was very fast-paced, but not a lot was actually happening.
A little bit dull, and or we'd seen it all before, so we were kind of...
So now the big Nomad spaceship, is that in space? Would it come down to make those attacks? Because at first I thought it was in space, but then you would see it in the sky.
You could see it.
I thought that was quite a nice visual design, that big blue target that crawls across the landscape. And
if
it lands on you, you know, there's trouble. But
how high would that have to be? 2 kilometres? More?
I don't know. It depends how big it is. But
And, I mean, that's the thing. The definition of what's in space and what isn't. Like, I mean, the atmosphere is only 100 kilometres up.
Is it really space? So yeah. There's different levels in space.
I think so.
If that's the case, then...
It's not particularly far.
So he was suffering when he was outside. That he had to have a breathing apparatus. Yeah. So it's far enough.
So then it's far enough that it's outside the atmosphere.
Yeah, but that's or at least
high
space.
Enough that it's not much oxygen.
He was properly in space, but that's what they were destroying, right? The big Nomad.
The big Nomad thing. Yeah. So that must have been in space.
I feel like it just hovers down and comes lower and then goes up again or something.
It's well within its rights to do that, I reckon. It's probably got the tech on it.
I'm not complaining. Yeah,
but
not the AI tech. Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't let an AI do that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And
yeah,
that thing, the whole distance thing, like, that was suddenly over LA at one point. But it's actually, we see it first over New Asia, which is near Thailand, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 10,000 kilometres. My bad.
Yeah, I thought that might have been a bit... Yeah,
I thought you were being too much. I thought it was only about 10.
But there's different levels of space. So there's the lower space and the higher space. So when the Blue Origin Jeff Bezos's rocket went up.
Uh-huh.
Or no, was it Branson's one? Is it really? There was all the argument. But did you really go into space? You were just below the line of space.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So the full atmosphere is 10,000 kilometers, but most of the air mass is in the lower parts of it.
If you're saying that thing could have been 10,000 k's in the air, no one's seeing that fucker.
No.
Can you see 10,000 k's?
Not 10,000. Hang on. No. Say that again.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, space 10 kilometers, isn't it?
No.
10. What?
10,000 metres?
No.
I'm just telling you what Google's telling me.
Space is, okay.
Space is not 10,000 kilometres.
Yes, apparently our atmosphere is 10,000 kilometres thick. The clouds you see in the sky, the wind that is moving the trees, blah, 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 blah.
Are you on Gingle instead of Google?
I'm on National Geographic, all right? Take it up with them.
Oh, those bastards.
you're double checking. 10,000 kilometres.
10,000 k's. That does seem a long way. I mean, I was shocked at 100.
I was surprised too.
For NASA and the US military, for example, space starts at an altitude of 50 miles, around 80 kilometres.
So 100, like you said, first time around?
Starts a little higher, possibly around the 100 kilometres is the Kármán line that they talk about being, I think, between Earth and space. It's definitely not 10,000. That's just.
So I don't know what National Geographic's going on about.
That's probably Mars.
No, come on.
I don't have any idea. Right. I'm not here for my scientific knowledge.
I am.
Yeah, I know. that's why I'm relying on you. Don't you work in the. Okay. NASA, that is. She works in NASA.
No. Oh, my. I wish. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If anyone from NASA is listening, I'm available for work, just
people
FYI.
People are getting really annoyed with this podcast now.
So it's Allison Janney's character from this film that we watched, the creator, Gareth Edwards, the director, and somebody from NASA who are listening to this. They're the only three listeners
that's
we have.
That's it, yeah.
We should be so lucky. Yeah, okay. So I guess final thoughts, Rowley. Would you see a sequel to this? Are you hankering for one?
I'd be very concerned about the sequel.
Mm.
But I definitely want to see more from the director.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to see more of this type of film, tackling the type of issues this film does.
Yeah.
In as an original way as possible. This one was kind of maybe 60% there for
me. So you've got a great setting and setup and a kind of tacked on Hollywood plot, I suppose.
It feels a bit tacked on. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be one of those ones where a sequel, you know, becomes the best thing ever. Like Terminator 2 or.
Yeah, but that wasn't better than the first one.
Or Mad Max 2.
She wasn't listening.
I was listening to it. You're incorrect.
There is an occasional sequel that's better than the original, right?
Yeah, like Terminator 2.
Yeah, I just strongly disagree with that.
Oh, look, the first one was also excellent.
Yeah.
But I do...
So where are you at with Mad Max then?
I saw one again recently with some students, actually. And
that's quite good.
They all hated that.
Did they?
Yeah.
It hasn't aged terribly well.
Yeah. But two was fun. I don't know. Is it better than the first one? Well, maybe Fury Road is better than all of them.
Ooh, I didn't like that.
Didn't you?
I really enjoyed Fury Road.
Stupid thing with the guitar on the truck. Come on.
All right, isn't that kind of...
You're throwing musician. Me out of...
Because you're a muso. I don't buy that.
That's not an apocalyptic world. That's a dream vision.
Some sort of circus or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Parazade, what final thoughts on The Creator?
I would probably watch a sequel... when it's on a streaming platform.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ooh.
Although, I mean, although it was visually stunning. So maybe I'd see it in cinemas.
Mm.
But I also would be concerned about a sequel. Mm. I think it was a decent enough standalone film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like to see the land, the area, where was this, where he met his mate and... in that factory where they were making AI stuff.
Mm-hmm. So like a prequel rather than a sequel.
Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't necessarily mind
set there
that.
Only. And I'm just always hankering for Blade Runner again, you know?
I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel about the actual what ended up causing that Los Angeles explosion, a bit like Rogue One, where that is end point. I mean, again, it's going to be bleak and good dark, idea. But this seems to be a director that does well with that.
Sure. Yeah,
like,
right.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
Interesting point. Yeah, go back to how it all happened, how it all started. Yeah, okay.
What's the South African director with that did Chappie and what was the other one called?
Neil Blomkamp.
Blomkamp.
Yeah.
His one, District 9.
District 9, yeah.
This kind of reminded me a bit of that. That was how this film, that's what I wanted to feel from this film a little bit more.
Yeah.
That was part of the way there, but.
Right, okay. Have you seen a Matt Damon film called Elysium?
Yeah.
I mentioned this.
I actually didn't mind that.
I hated that.
Yeah. I've not seen it, but I've heard, mixed reviews.
And part of the end of this, where the end on the spaceship where, you know, where...
That
reminded
again,
me of Elysium.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the parts that were good in Elysium were quite a few.
That's right, yeah. Very early on, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and only... I don't even want to talk about that movie. It's horrible.
Well, probably no one else wants you to talk about
that. That's right. So therefore, let's go. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank
talk
you.
To you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, the creator... I liked this movie. Can't say I loved it, though. There was just, I don't know, something lacking, which kind of often happens with some of the more deep thinking, or at least ones that think they're deep thinking, sci-fi movies. I didn't think this was about AI at all. That was kind of, I don't know, felt like something that was chucked in there a bit. I felt this film was more, I don't know, it felt more like a good comment on US foreign policy following 9/11. By an European or a Brit. But, you know, good performances, great special effects. The AI creatures looked amazing. Didn't get the big flying thing. It seemed, I don't know, why can't you just launch or have a satellite doing the same thing? Anyway, it was a bit stupid. But overall, enjoyable movie. But, you know, could have been better.